bring to you the good news, glad tidings. The Bible says it's for all men, so that would include yourselves, would it not? Good news about a Saviour, that there's a way, you know, back from the madness, you know, the inexcusable madness is the only thing you can call it. You see the mess, you know, the state that the world, and of course ourselves too as a nation, you know, what we'd become as a result, you know, of one thing, only one cause, you know, and it's the Bible tells us what it is. Nothing else, you know, gives us the answer for the moral madness that you know, that we see in our, you know, abroad in the world today, and of course, as I say, in our own nation. Don't doubt for a moment that the sleepy little town of Macclesfield escapes it either. And I'm sure that you've encountered some of it too. But we're all here to tell you, you know, about you know, the God's love in providing us with an escape route. But of course, God does say, you know, that, you know, if we neglect this great salvation, well, it's put in the way of a question, you know, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And of course, well, it doesn't answer the question, because, well, the answer is logical. You won't escape. To escape what? Well, it's not just the present effects of sin, like, you know, it's there's a consequence to it, like, you know, there's some urgency, you know, to the matter. It's you know, it's not a matter of indifference and apathy, you know, that we're faced with when we bring the gospel to people these days, you know. Well, it doesn't really matter, you know. Some people believe one way, some people believe another, and it doesn't really matter which, you know, as long as you believe something. A woman came to me yesterday telling me that in Nottingham, telling me that she's got her own faith, her own beliefs, like, you know, but of course it don't match what God says, you know, what he says in his word. He says there's only one way. I am the way, he says, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father, no one gets right with God, that is. And of course, well, we need to make it right, because we're not right. How you doing, my dear? How you doing? Have a good day? Huh? Good. You wanna, hey, wanna, have a read? You got a quiet minute? Have a read. Oh, where's one? Right? So, you know, it's only one way, you know, Jesus himself. You know, God is love, the Bible says. His name is Jesus, and he came into the world to save us from sin, you know, to make us right. You know, we need making right, because we're not right. God says, you know, that's not my opinion, you know, it's, God doesn't ask us for our opinion, yours or mine. He just gives us his, you know, and he says that we, all of us, every single one of us, every man, woman, child born into this world, well, first of all, we were conceived in sin, and then we're born in it, and we live and die in it. And of course, well, then comes the final, the full-blown consequences. Then comes the final penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death, and of course, everlasting eternal death. Hell is what God calls the place. So something, you know, that you need saving from. The present wrath of God, the Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth of the knowledge of God in their unrighteousness. You know, it's abroad, you know, the wrath of God even now. But then there's the wrath to come, the final judgment. So that's what you all need saving from, every single one of us. And there's only one way, one Savior. Jesus is His name. Came into the world, the Bible says, not to make men religious, not to make them wealthy, prosperous, healthy, but to save them from their sin, a very real and known danger. And of course, it's a common denominator, don't you know? You know, whatever you are, however rich or however poor, you might be homeless, you might live in a Cheshire mansion, matters not. The one common denominator binds us all together, every single one of us, we're all sinners. And of course, come short of the glory of God, the glorious standard that God has set for mankind. Where do you find that standard? Well, it's not yours. It's not your respectability or the lack of it. So where do you find it? Well, you find it in the Bible. God's revelation. Exodus chapter 20. Check it out if you will. Ten commandments. Know the gods before me, God says. Not the gods of the heathen, not the God of self, me. And of course, that's a call to trust. That's a call to trust, to believe in the one who is your maker, your lawgiver, your judge. And the one who today would be your savior, the one who today would be your redeemer, who would bring you back from that dark, dark path of sin, bring you into the light and into his glorious and wonderful love. This is, in a word that Macclesfield centers, this is the love of God. It's not religion, it's not judgment, it's not condemnation, it's salvation by the love of God. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, die in their sin, that is, be lost for all eternity, lost now, but then for all eternity, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. And you're simply known for the taking, offered to you, set before you. You take the gift, it's the gift of God, salvation. It's all gift. Starts with gift, goes on with gift, finishes with gift. Grace, gratis, free gratis of God. Freely offered to you, set before you here, Jesus and him crucified and risen again from the dead, in order that this salvation, this forgiveness, might be yours. So that's what we're here for. We come for Thursday by Thursday, as we're able. Lift up our voices. Some don't like it. You've got a town that seems to be quite, its feathers seem to get ruffled. Is that because maybe you think perhaps you're too posh? Is that perhaps you think maybe you're too, you're above the standard of God? Well, let me take that away from you, any thought of it at all. Because whatever you are, you're a human being, you're a sinner. You've come short of the glory of God, and you're deserving of nothing, absolutely nothing, but his eternal wrath. That's each and every one of us born into this world. Unrighteous, says God. None good. Oh, I'm a good person, you see. That's, I get that a lot, you know. I'm a good person, you know. I'm okay, you know. I don't need this. I don't need God. I don't need his salvation. You know, and, you know, when you say that, you know, God comes to you through his servants, brings his gospel, brings his love to you, and you say, well, no, I don't want that, thanks, I don't need that, I'm okay, thanks. God says, in effect, you know, he says, okay, I'll open another door, and I'll even give you a nudge through the door, and I'll give you what you want, I'll give you what you desire, I'll give you more sin. And he gives to men and women more and more sin, until they get to that place where they're of a debased mind, and they do things that are not convenient, not fitting for animals to do, never mind human beings. But that's the society. Check it out for yourself. Romans chapter 1, say in the Bible. That's the United Kingdom of not so great Britain today. That's where you're at. Debased minds and doing those things that are not convenient, that are not fitting for morally accountable creatures to do. So you like a copy of God's written word, the Bible. I got Bibles, I got New Testaments, I got a Gospel of John here that you could read. Good place to begin if you've never read the Bible before. Check it out to read about Jesus, who he is, why he is, why he came, and what he did, and what he did, who he did it for. These things are written. The Bible says that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life, eternal life, that is, in his name. So do you like a copy of God's written word? You come and ask for one. Gladly, freely place into your hands, no cost, no obligation to you. And if you've got a question pertaining to these matters, ask away. But please, please don't ask me questions about the existence of God. Because everybody, every man, his dog knows that God is. You're without excuse because of all the things that God has made. You look in the mirror every morning, you see a man, you see a woman made in the image of God. You see a man, a woman who's accountable, a morally accountable creature. You've got a conscience within you, haven't you? Unless you're seared it, that is. You've got a conscience in you that testifies with me here today that God is and that you're morally accountable to him. And one day you will give account to him. So before that day comes, my hope, my prayer for you, reason why we're here, my body and I are here today, is to tell you about the Savior who so loved the world that he came into it, was crucified, dead and buried, raised again from the dead, in order that a sinner like you, unrighteous, unholy, ungodly, and in need of being reconciled to God here to tell you this good news, this glad tidings, that you may be reconciled to God even this day. In the way of coming from your sin and coming to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the God of love, God of grace, kindness, loving kindness, great mercy. He's set before you, he's offered to you here this afternoon, Macclesfield Synod. So you'd like a copy of God's Word, ask, come and ask for it. You've got a question, ask away. Like somebody to pray for you, then more than happy to do that for you also. Sick, unwell, depressed, lonely, downcast, in need, in trouble, somebody else is making, you're making, doesn't matter. Or somebody to pray for you, I'd be more than happy to do that for you also. Only here to help, pointing the right direction, and there's only one of those. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one gets right with God except only through me. So you come to him. That's what he tells you to do. Come to me, he says, I'll give you rest. Rest for your souls, that is. Peace with God and the peace of God that passes all understanding. Gospel, good news, glad tidings for you, Macclesfield sinners today. The Bible says here, God's word, if you would hear, hearken, listen up, says here, in the Old Testament, we're in the Old Testament today, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. That's the Spirit of God. You know, God, the Bible tells us God exists, you know, as one person, three persons, but one God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father in his love sent his Son into the world. But it's by the Spirit of God that a man or woman has to be reborn in order to know, in order to even understand these things. Jesus said, you know, he said, a man be born again, he can't see, understand, perceive the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. It's by the Spirit of God. It's not another natural birth. It's not another physical birth. It's being born again of the Spirit of God. It's Him coming to you through the preaching of the gospel and convincing you of these things of which I speak to you, and convincing you and converting you and turning you out of your sin, turning the light on your sin darkened mind, and giving you understanding of these things, so that, you know, in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, He comes to you, you know, and you say, I get it, I see it, I understand, you know. And you see your need of Jesus, you see your need of Him, because He's the only Savior. He's the only one who can save you, rescue you, bring you back from the dark path of sin. But you must, Jesus says, you must be born again. You know, religion doesn't cut it. Going to church doesn't do it. You know, all kinds of things that men do, but you know, God Himself has to do it, because it's only what God does that lasts. What you and I do, that doesn't last. That fades, that goes in the end. Only what God accomplishes lasts stands the test of eternity. So you're born of the Spirit of God when He does the work. You know, I can tell you a story, I can tell you about Jesus and His love. I can tell you about God's love in sending His Son. I can tell you the story, but He has to, the Spirit of God has to make it real to you. Make Him real to you. You must be born again. Spirit of God says here, this is the Son of God speaking, of course. Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. Well, that's us here today, isn't it? You know, yes. Preaching the gospel. Well, I don't know if you'd be meek. I don't know if there'd be any meek people.
Can I just shake your hand?
Of course you can, my dear.
Lovely.
Thank you. Lovely, thank you. No, just to give. Yeah. But thank you very much, Eddie, for the offer. Thank you very much. God bless you. So you see, preach the gospel, you know, for the meek, you know, for those who are, you know, of a humble mind, you know. Those, you know, that see themselves, you know, that unworthy, you know, not worthy of the least of God's blessings, mercies, you know. That's the kind of people we're here looking for. Is anything like that here in Macclesfield today? You know, sin makes us the opposite. It makes us arrogant. It makes us proud, you know. It makes us think, you know, that we're even too good for God, you know. And we're too good for this, you know. You're too clever for this, you know. You're too smart for this. You know, but the preaching of the gospel, you know, it searches out. It looks for the meek, you know. Those who see themselves as being unworthy. It's them that God's looking for, you know. And it's them that God blesses. It's them that Jesus came for. You know, he tells us, he gives us a list. It's not exhaustive, but he tells us, you know, that those who he came for, came set the captive free, he says, you know, came for the brokenhearted, the poor in spirit, you know, all kinds of people, he says, that he came for, to minister to that, and to save, to rescue, you know. Those are the kind of people he comes from. But there's one class of people that he doesn't mention, and one kind of people that Jesus never ever had anything to say to. The self-righteous. Those that think themselves, you know, are cut above everybody else. Those that think themselves that I'm okay, you know. The religious. And the religious ones, they're the worst of them all, self-righteous, because of their, they think because of their religious doing, you know, they get God's favor. This is not religious, this is not man-made religion, This is the gospel. This is God's love for sinners. And that's the one. That's the one and the only qualification, Michael Field. You have to be a sinner. You have to be a sinner. If you're a sinner, one, you call God a liar, and two, you exclude yourself from the gospel. But if you're a sinner, you come short of the glory of God, you see yourself as unworthy, meek in spirit, poor in spirit, then Jesus, well, you're one of the people that he came for, Jesus came for. But the self-righteous, he never ever had anything to say to the self-righteous. So if that's you, you exclude yourself by that, by being that way, that attitude. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, the Bible says. And he, in due time, he'll exalt you. But the one, Jesus says, the one that exalts themselves, you know, arrogant, proud, you know, full of themselves, you know. The one that exalts themselves, he says, God will abase, God will bring them down. Then you come down yourself and come down to the foot of the cross there and confess your sin, confess what you are in reality, and that's not a good person. Look into your heart. Look into your heart. Here's what to look for. Here's what to search for. Search for a broken heart because of your sin. Because of your sin against God, against His love, against His law. Yeah? Seek for a broken heart for your sin. And get your face down in the dirt before the cross of Jesus, the Son of God, and cry out to Him that He'd have mercy on you. That's the way forward. That's the way up. So, the Spirit of God, He says, you know, preach the gospel. That's what Jesus came for. He said, I came, you know, went from town to town, just like we are doing, preaching the gospel, preaching the good news, that there's salvation, that there's a Savior, one sent into the world by God to rescue sinners, to rescue this world, you know. He said, God so loved the world, you know, this world is broken, it's demonic, it lies under the power of the evil one presently, but God hasn't given it up. God has it. It's His world, it's His creation. His plan, the Bible tells us, His plan's to renew it all, to make it all new and shiny again. But first of all, He's going to cleanse it. He's going to cleanse it. He's going to burn it. It's all going to be burned up and all made new again. But if it's all made new again, there's only one class of person that will indwell, inhabit His new creation. And that's not the self, it's the righteous, but not the self-righteous. So who are the righteous, you say? Those who are righteous by faith, those who believe in Jesus. That's how you get righteous. That's how you get the righteousness of God. You come to me, says Jesus, I take your sin away, and I give you my righteousness. And how do you come? You come by faith, you come trusting, believing. You come looking unto Jesus. That's the only way. Apart from His righteousness, yours is no good, mine is no good. Self-righteousness, that's a stench, that's a stink in the nostrils of God. Self-righteousness. Yeah? No, only one righteousness that'll get you a pass on the day of judgment, and that's somebody else, not yours. Somebody else is not yours. Your righteousness, as God said, as your very best efforts, He said, they're like filthy rags in His sight. Like a menstrual cloth, He says. So, in that day when God judges you, as He will, all of us, every single one of us, in that day when He judges you, what will He be looking for? Some good deeds that you did? Maybe giving some money to the poor, the homeless? No. What will He be looking for? How many times you attended a church? How religious you were, or weren't. What would you be looking for? I tell you what you'd be looking for. You'd be looking for the righteousness of His Son. And if you're not clothed in the righteousness of His Son, you don't get a pass. You get a failure. You get sent to hell. Only the righteousness of God gets you a pass in that day, and you get it from Him by coming to Him, trusting in Him, believing into Him. But rest assured, I'm telling you, this is God's love, this is God's escape plan for you personally, Macclesfield sinner. Yeah? This is not religion, Meccas or Romes or anybody else's. This is God's exquisite, generous, phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal love that He has for the sinners of mankind in making this provision for you, that you might not be lost just in time but for all eternity, but that you might be saved, salvation, not here to judge you, not here to condemn you. If I did, I would be judging, condemning myself. I'm a sinner just like you, just like everybody else. We've all sinned and come short of His glory. Every single one of us, myself included, so not here to judge you. Even Jesus said, I didn't come to judge men. I didn't come to condemn. I came to save. And I speak these things to you that you might be saved. Because the only way you can be saved is how? By the preaching of the good news, the glad tidings, the gospel, Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen, the Son of God who came into the world, took our flesh, became one of us, and lived and loved and died, and rose again from the dead in order that you, by a risen living Savior, might be saved. Came, took our nature, did all this. Why? What for? Take away your sin, your guilt, your shame, your blame. Lift the curse and the wrath of God that already lies upon you and set you free and bring you into the experience, the knowledge of the love of God in Jesus Christ. It's offered to you. You just take the gift. You just take, you just receive. He came to His own people. The Bible says that His own people didn't receive Him. They rejected Him, and they still do. And that's why they're still in trouble today in Israel. Two factions there. What is it that they need? Well, you get two factions. You get two people. You've got Gazites and you've got Israelites. And the two of them, the both of them together, they've got religions that are contrary to God. Self-righteous religion. That's what the problem with them. What they need is the gospel. What they need is the love of God. That's the only thing that would bring peace there. And that's the only thing that would bring peace to you, to the town of Macclesfield. There's no peace for the wicked, my God says. It's the love of God that you need. So like I say, not here to judge, not here to condemn. I'm here to tell you that there's a way out, there's a way of escape, there's a way by which you can get out from under the power of sin that holds you in its grip. Whatever the manifestation of sin in you is, drugs, alcohol, religion, sexual immorality, blasphemy, theft, we could go on all day, the list goes on forever, does it not? Entrapped by sin, imprisoned by it. I came to set the captives free, says Jesus. One word from Him, and the chains are loosed, they're broken, they fall off, and you're free for time and for eternity. Justified, right with God, by faith in Jesus, the Son of God. So He came, anointed, to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. A lot of reasons why a person could be brokenhearted, Macclesfield today. Maybe lonely, forsaken by family, spouse, husband, or wife, cheated on you, forsaken you. A lot of reasons why, people, men and women, can be brokenhearted. But the kind of broken heart that we're looking for, is the one that's broken because of sin. you begin to realize, you begin, you know, maybe perhaps the light, there's a glimmer of light there in you, and you've begun to see, just at the edges, but you've begun to see, you know, that you've sinned against Almighty God, you've sinned against your Maker, you've sinned against love, because that's what He is. God is love. His name is Jesus. Love beyond, I tell you, that passes knowledge, human understanding. When you realize that you get the inclination just that you've sinned. You've offended that love. It breaks your heart. You begin to melt, you know. That old hardness, that obduracy, that stubbornness, you know. That refuses to acknowledge any wrongdoing. You sound like your politicians, you know. What's their mantra? I've done nothing wrong. That's your politicians. They're the worst of the lot of you. I've done nothing wrong. Well, that's denying your sin. That's calling God a liar. And that's excluding you from His love. That's excluding you from His forgiveness. That's excluding you from all His blessings. That's why I say to you, you know, seek for a broken heart for your sin. You know, come to the realization who and what it is that you've sinned against. Oh, you have to frighten me. You can't frighten people into the kingdom of God. It's only by faith you enter the kingdom of God. Believing what God says, and what does He say? He says, we're all sinners. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. And we all need His forgiveness. That's what's an offer here today, forgiveness. Whatever the brand of sin is, however long you've been doing it, however deep it is, however disgusting you might think it is, maybe you think to yourself, oh, I could, the things I've done, I could tell God about those. Oh yes, you could, because He already knows. You won't surprise God, you won't shock God, He already knows. So whatever the sin is, you can tell Him, you can bring it to Him. Forgiveness is offered to you here today, through Jesus, the Son of Man. Only He has the authority. Only He has the authority to forgive, to say to anyone their sins are forgiven. There's no pope, there's no priest, there's no minister, no religious guru in all this world has that authority. Only Jesus, only the Son of Man has the authority to say to you, your sins are forgiven. So if you've not heard the words of absolution from the lips of Jesus Himself, you're still in your sin. But whatever the sin is, bring it to Him. Tell Him. Confess it to Him. Confession is good for the soul. If we confess our sins, He is righteous and just and to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, the Bible says. It's good news. That guilt, you know. That guilt that you carry about with you, you know, that burdens you. Come unto Me, He says, all you that labor and are heavy laden, let Me lift it from off you. Let Me take it away. The sin, the guilt, the shame, the blame. Let Me set you free. For freedom. Christ came and lived and died in order to set men and women free. The brokenhearted, liberty for the captives, well, we've already done that. Opening of the prison to them that are bound. Because some people are bound, you know. That they're bound, they're slaves, that they're bound to, some are bound to religion, you know. I want you to get that, you know, understand this, will you? This is not man-made religion, this is the gospel. This is the gospel of God's love. Religion will make a slave of you. That's what the God of Islam wants. He wants slaves. The gospel will make children of God of you. God wants your love. He doesn't want slaves. He wants your love. He wants to love you, and He wants you to love Him. He wants you to know him as your father and you as his child. That's the gospel. It brings men and women into a relationship with God. Father-son, father-daughter relationship. Mecca wants you for slaves. The God of Islam, Allah, he wants slaves. The Pope of Rome, he wants slaves. Man-made religion brings men into slavery, into bondage. Thou, that Jesus came to set the captives free. And there are men and women all over this world, don't you know? There are people in far-flung places. Afghanistan, Iraq. These places where that heathen religion abounds. In the country of Iraq, I'm told that there are many, many people that have thrown away their Korans. That nonsense. They've thrown them away and they're embracing Jesus Christ and finding peace and joy, finding love for the first time in their lives. Bound, all their lives bound by religion. Captives. Let Jesus set you free. Turn, says the Lord, why will you die? In your sin that is. Lost for time and eternity when you can be liberated, set free from the law of sin and death and brought into the law of love. God's love for you, Macclesfield. God's love for you. God loves you. Christ is dead for you. A Savior available for you. He's done the business. He's done the hard bit. He's done the living. He's done the loving, he's done the dying, and he's done the rising from the dead. He's done the work. That's why the Bible says it's not by works. Can't be by works. Because Jesus has done all the work. He's done everything that needs to be done. All that's left for you to do is to trust in him, in his person, as he's revealed in the Bible. You trust in his person. You trust in what he has done, what he has accomplished. It's living, it's loving, it's dying. And you get salvation, you get freely offered to you, freely set before you. Free, absolutely free. No hidden terms. No small print. It's all in large print. Free grace, the free love, and the free justification of God. You come to me, says Jesus, I liberate you, I set you free from it all, and I justify you for time and for eternity. You just come, that's all. Come to him, look to him, confide in him, believe in him, believe into him. You have to get into Jesus. It's not believing on Jesus, believing into him. You have to believe into him. You have to be in him, and he has to be in you. There's no blessing of God without that. You have to be in that day when God judges you, as he will. It's appointed unto man once to die. Soon you're going to breathe your last. You're going to close your eyes in death. And then you're going to open them on the other side, and you're going to be faced either with the judge of all the earth, dreadful, terrible judge, a terrible day that will be, or the Savior waiting to welcome you with open arms. It all depends on whether you're in Christ or out of Christ. Out of Christ, there's nothing but fearful looking for the judgment. Out of Christ, there's no blessing. Out of Christ, there's no goodness. Out of Christ, there's no life. There's no love. There's no light. There's no salvation. Only in Christ. But in Christ, you have it all. All the blessing that God has for mankind. In Christ. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ to faith in his name. So Macclesfield sinners, here, one and all, come one and all. There's room for everybody. The whole town of Macclesfield should they come. Come to me, says Jesus, and I'll give you rest for your souls. Come. my faith to the Son of God. You'd like to read something of these things. I've got Bibles, New Testaments, Gospel of John. Read for yourself and see what a wonderful person Jesus is, what wonderful things He has done. Read the good news to yourself. Study it. Who knows, maybe God gives you the light that you need and the salvation that you desperately need. Come to Him, cry out to Him, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come one, come all. Come to Jesus today. You'd like a copy of God's written word, you come and ask for one. Gladly and freely place into your hands, no cost, no obligation to you. If you have a question, feel free to ask, and like somebody pray for you, then more than happy to do that for you also. But God bless you, Macclesfield sinners. May God bless you and have mercy. Mercy I see upon your precious, precious, never dying souls.